Welcome to the third episode of our podcast Up on Foil, where we talk about foiling, about being on foil and talk to people all around foiling. I'm Matt, living in Switzerland, currently in Spain at the moment.
And I'm Guy, living in Cyprus, But is it the third one or the fourth one?
Oh, damn it. Good start. Okay, and then the third one here. All right, now we have the third one. The third one with us is Kari Eisenhut. He's the owner of Chill Out Paragliding in Interlaken. He's the winner of Kite Foil World Series in 2021. He won the Defi Wind in Corsica in 2022, and he used to work for Advanced Paragliding. He was a part owner, and he was part of development for 25 years. Kari, welcome to the show. Did I forget anything?
No, I think it's correct, yeah.
So he knows what he's doing, probably, but
yes. We're going to see that. And he knows probably better than we do. And thank you for being on, Kari. And how are you? You're in Kreuzlingen at the moment, right? Lake Constance.
Yeah, exactly. As you see, I'm in Switzerland. It's very cold, but the wind is picking up. We expect 50 knots of breeze today. So I'm looking forward to go on the water soon.
So we don't have too much time then.
That's okay.
What are you going out with today?
I'm going out with wing foiling. I'm addicted to wing foiling. I did a lot of foiling in different ways, but the wing foiling is what I do in the last parts. And yeah, it's good fun, and I'm ready to go out.
He's always ready. If there's a little bit of wind somewhere, Kari is out on the water. That's just how it is.
We want to know, what foil are you going to be using in the water?
Ah, okay. So, of course, today I take probably the Eagle X for sure from F1. It's a high aspect foil, and it has a lot of performance, a lot of acceleration, and a good lift. So that's what I like. I have a 800 and a 1000 with aspect of 12. And yeah. It's the wind is picking up a little bit, then I take the smaller one. If it's light like yesterday, last day we had 5 to 6 knots and all the optimist sailing boats were out, and I could foil around them. It was good fun, yeah.
That's incredible with such little wind and you're out. What wing did you use? What sail?
I use a big wing, an 8 square meter. CVC also from F1. It has a good lift. A lot of drag, but the lift is excellent, so you can go in light winds, and this is fun. You can go several times faster and the wind blows, and that's the magical part. And you have the whole wing in your hand, and then you feel the angle of attack and everything direct in your hands, and that's what makes me so inspiring.
I wanted to ask you one thing, because when it's light wind, either you put a bigger foil, either you take a bigger wing, like a sail. And I as I understood, you are more for bigger sails and smaller foils. Why that?
In light winds, I take as big as it possible. So I take the biggest wing. The wing is limited because the span is limited, span-wise, because it's touching the water. And so the 8 meter is more or less the limit, probably. And the wing at the foil, I take also a big one. 1000 is very big for me. It's high aspect. So I'm more checking out the span than the surface. I think the span makes the biggest difference. More span, more performance. So I have a aspect ratio is the highest aspect ratio. From F1 I got is the 12 aspect ratio, and it works very good because it has a very good acceleration and quite a good lift, enough lift.
So you're an expert in those streamlines on foils, and I'm not going to rant about the foil and the wing, both called the wing, but let's just talk about the foil when talking about the thing underwater and the wing if we talk about the sail. Is that okay?
Okay.
For today.
We try, yeah.
So you said that the aspect ratio is super important, the span is super important for the foil. And maybe you can just, from what I understand, is that there's difference between the stream over and under the foil that generates the lift. Can we say that like that?
Yeah. I mean, it works in every aerodynamic the same. Is it a sail? Is it a sailplane? Is it a paraglider? Is it a foil under the water? It's just the streamline goes around the profile. And as more the streamline goes more around on a longer way, as more lift you have, but also more drag you get. So it's always something between lift and drag. So you search the biggest lift and the less drag you can get. So this is always the compromise.
So if it's higher aspect, if the span is bigger, then it doesn't need to be that thick. Is that a conclusion I could take?
Automatically, when you have a higher span, you have less short. Less short is normally also less thick. And less thick means that the streamline goes less around. So you have a little bit less lift, but much less drag. It sounds very complicated, but it's very simple.
Yeah, essentially, like if it's thicker, you have a less low end, but then more high end because you have less drag at higher speed, right?
Just the opposite, I think. More thick, more goes it around. So you have a very big lift because it's thick, that the streamline has a long way to take.
That's what I said.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we mean the same.
So it's like the airplane when it lands, it's got the thicker wing.
Exactly. Yeah,
and can go slower. You come from this paragliding background. How did you, or when did you get into water sport? How did that change happen, or was that simultaneously?
I was born in the mountains at Lake of Thun, and in the mountains we have a lake and we have mountains, so I was windsurfing since I can walk probably, and then I started flying paragliding, and both is still there. The water we have in front of the house and the mountains we have in front of the house, and I use both. And the thing is, in our region we have no wind, so we have wind. We have a constant thermal breeze from 6 to 10 knots, 6 to 11 knots. And in this breeze, normally you couldn't kitesurf or you couldn't windsurf very good with a twin tip or with a normal fin windsurfer. And now this time it changed a lot because you can surf probably almost every day. And this is fantastic when you have no wind or very small wind and you can go twice or three or four times faster than the wind blows. This is a magical feeling. And this is in front of our house in our conditions with 6 to 11 knots.
So the change from windsurfing or the twin tip to foils, that must have been like a revelation for you.
Absolutely. This is the big step, the big step of no drag, this magical feeling to be able to go faster than the wind blows. And this is something you feel. You feel, and not only yourself, also the people around walking up and down the lake or cruising on a boat, and they see a foil on the water, they stop and they watch, and they are it's a magical thing.
So when was the first time you went up on foil?
Oh, this was already a long time ago. Maybe that was 10 years ago, something like that, or even more.
And that was on a kite?
This was on a kite, yeah. First was of course.
And were you part of like developing the kites as well, as you come from this paragliding?
Yes, we had some episodes. We did from advanced paragliders. We did the Kappa for Duotone. I was responsible for this project, and for several other things too. So we were always a little bit in touch because it's very similar. A paraglider or a wing or a kite is a similar stuff. Yeah.
And did you find it easy to get into wing foiling since you were already a paraglider and already experienced with wing sports?
Yeah, that's a good question. I was thinking it's very easy, but actually it takes me some time and I'm still learning a lot and progressing, and this makes it fun. So I think it's not at all easy. But it's not dangerous. That's the good thing. I mean, with the kite or the kite racing, you go with big sails and 20 square meter, and then you have high speeds, of course, but you have also, when the wind is coming, a thunderstorm or something like that, and the wind speed is getting double. With a kite, it's getting more exciting. And with the wing foil, you are looking for more gusts coming, and you are happy when you see a black cloud coming. And there's no less danger, much less danger, I would say.
So you won the Kite Foil World Series. You said there was five races over the course of a year.
Yeah, I won it in the Master Series. There are different series. I'm a little bit older already. And there was very happy that was a Master Series, that you have the chance to be on the water, not only against the young guns. And yeah, there was a circuit with some events all around Europe. It was on the Canarians, in Europe, all around. And it was good fun.
And that was also just part-time while working at Advance, is that? Or did you do that full-time?
Not completely. I sold my shares by Advance, and I had a little bit more time traveling around and doing my sports and watching of my family. So I was a lucky man then. Yeah.
And you also won the Defi Wind. We talked about that before. Can you take us through that? How was that? There are long distance races and also shorter ones, or how does that
Defi Wind in Corsica? There are different Defi Winds. There was one in Corsica, I think. And then this Defi Wind was very interesting because it's a long distance race between the two islands, Corsica and Sardinia. And between Corsica and Sardinia, you have very different wind direction, wind accelerations around these islands. And so it was, for me, it was perfect, because from paragliding, you have to check out in three dimensions. You have to understand the wind and the streamlines and the acceleration and the lower part, wind parts. And this was super fun, because it was not only racing, it was also very much understanding the wind system and the pressure system. And not the direct way was not the fastest way, so you had to go where the wind was the best. And this was for me, it was super fun. Yeah,
I talk a little bit if you can without going too much in depth about the strategies that you use perhaps to win some of the races.
Yeah, the strategy, you have to be there where the wind is the strongest. And of course, when you have islands, and between the islands you have more stronger winds, and then you have Luftstau and lee side turbulence, and this you have to just to understand. It's very simple. It's like going down a river, the water going down a river, and you see where the stream of the river is the strongest, and where there is a backwind and rotors, and on a map, it's very simple. On the course, it's a little bit more difficult, because suddenly you don't have an idea where you are exactly. So the important thing is to understand and to know where you are in the circuit and how the system works, and then you just adapt to the system and you go with the wind. Like in the American Cup, we can now watch every day. It's a spectacular when they have a stronger wind gusts or wind shifts, and they have to be there, otherwise they are back. Yeah.
Did you win due to your strategy, or were you just faster anyway?
I think a little bit of both. Of course, against the wind surfers and against wing foilers, a kite foiler is the most efficient machine. The wing is the best aerodynamic, and the foil, you can take a small foil, so there you have already a big advantage. But of course, there were other kite foilers too, so I think it was both. It was experience maybe, and the competition of kite foiling experience. Yeah.
How long was that race? How many kilometers? How many minutes or hours did it take?
You went along. Huh? You went up to 60 kilometers, and you had to know where you are around the islands, and there were some shallow parts where you are not allowed because you hit the reefs and not allowed to go. And it was a good adventure. And the motorboat, suddenly they were no more able to follow, and then you were alone, and you had to find the way. The turn point was how do you say, a Leuchtturm, I don't know in English.
lighthouse.
A lighthouse, yeah. You had to go around the lighthouse far away and then back. Yeah. That was good. That was really good. I hope there are more races like that because it brings another part. It brings the understanding of the wind system more in. And of course, in some parts, double strong of the wind and in other parts. And so not only the wind direction, also the wind, how strong the wind blows was very different on the race. Yeah.
Were these races all about long distance or also other kind of things?
Only long distance.
I guess with the foil kite.
Of course, yeah. Foil kite and
What foil did you use? When you said that you can use smaller foils, but there are also big differences in wind strength. So you had to compromise probably. What how did you choose your foil?
In kite foil racing, you have normally you don't switch in foils. You have always the same. You have about 500 square meter aspect 10, around 10, and you take more the bigger. The surface of the kite is very important because that's a good thing. It's very different to have a single skin kite, like a tube kite or like a single skin paraglider or like a wing. We call it single skin. Or you have a double skin like a paraglider or a sailplane or any other machines. And this is a very different very different project, a very different machine, because the single skin is like a very thick profile and it creates a lot of lift, but it doesn't accelerate, so you cannot go fast, and then you are much more limited. And with a double skin, you have less drag, and you can go much more faster. So I think in the future of wing foiling, I'm almost sure there will be lots of new things coming, not of new developments coming in the wing, because that must is a logical thing that it will come.
We had Dore on the last episode, and he said that he just bought a double skinned wing. And the cool thing is that, yes, you're a lot faster, but you cannot basically just like pull it in the off mode. So it's always accelerating, which is kind of exhausting, and he had to switch his stance. Have you used double-skinned wings as well?
Yeah, of course. I was testing it and tried it out. It's good fun, but I think they're all based on inflatable front tubes, so where you have to push the structure with a tube. But when you watch a windsurf sail, they have a carbon mast, or you have a delta plane for flying, they are full carbon double skin sails to fly. So just imagine you put a delta plane on the water, that will be a radical machine. So there will be a lot of, or you take a windsurf sail and you make the windsurf sail for wing foiling. So then you have, there are lots of different solutions and different way to go. So the future, I'm 100% sure, will be very interesting in wing foiling.
But we want to know the combination. So this para wing that just came out, we want to hear your thoughts, because it seems like it's a perfect combination for you. Like, you're combining wing foiling, which is apparently one of your favorite water sports, and then paragliding, essentially. Did you try it?
Yeah, but you can also put the bad things together. So I think it's better to put the good things together. So about para winging or para foiling, I'm not so sure if this will be the future of everybody. So I don't think so at the moment. Huh?
Why? Okay, could you go deeper into that?
I think it's difficult, and with the wind speed, which is going up and down, the sail surface doesn't change, and you have all to struggle with this, with lots of lines, and you have the single skin surface, which is not very efficient, and so there are a lot of normal disadvantages together. So I wouldn't go in this direction for sure, not.
It probably depends also, right? So if you want to do a downwinder, just like surfing on the wind waves, it's a way to get up on foil and then put it away. And it's not about speed that much or going up wind.
No, I wouldn't say it's bad. It's a great idea. And I think all new ideas are brilliant and good. They are coming. But my background is Lake of Thun. And Lake of Thun, we have 5 to 11 knots. So I'm more interested in things which are working at my home spot, because there I spent most of the time. And then I'm not sure if para winging is the future on our flat lakes with 5 to 11 knots.
But you would say for racing, they're gonna exchange the tube wings to a surf sail carbon front section and just harder, more rigid.
Yeah, not hard. It's not a problem of rigidity, because a tube is very rigid when you have when it's full pumped. It's more a part of the volume. A front tube of a wing is huge. When you see the diameter you need to have the structure for an 8 square meter wing, and imagine you can take a carbon fiber tube which is maybe only 5 centimeters, and then you have no drag, and this low drag makes the interesting part of the new direction in the future, in my opinion.
And you have tried one of those?
Actually, until now there is nothing on the market, so big players are working on these tubes because that's their business and that's their background. But I'm sure there will coming brands on the market with other mechanics. And I'm watching around, of course, and I'm looking forward very much. Until now, I'm just learning wing foiling with the normal standard machines which are available on the market. And this is already great, but it will go further on, I'm sure.
But you're not helping develop these things now, as you did with the kite? And
not so much. I'm an ambassador of F1 in Switzerland, and I'm very happy and very pleased. And I think it's an absolutely great brand. They have a lot of passion behind, and I'm looking forward to what they bring on the market. And so I help with my ideas, of course, but I'm not anymore involved in development at the front there.
And could you tell us a little bit about your experience as a developer?
Actually, I'm not an engineer, or that's not my background. I'm more of my job was to put the ideas together, to test it, to give the feedback, and more to say in which directions the market is going, because I have the background of a school. I see a lot of things there, and I was flying a lot, and this was more my part of my job to say which direction is good and where the market or where the demands of the pilots is going, and then develop the things for the market, for the good to choose the right stuff. Yeah, of course I had to deal with brilliant engineers and talk, and also try to understand, of course, how things are going. But it was not my job to sit behind the computer and to find out the solutions.
And you mentioned that you have basically nearly no wind there where you are usually foiling. So I guess you're also using one of these longboards, right, to take off?
Yeah, of course. And I was using 18 feet, I think it's 18 feet to call it, quite a narrow board and a long board. And it's just it glides very good in the water. The gliding speed is the most important, and it's not the planning speed. Like on a windsurfer, you have a planning speed, but the planning speed of a board is normally higher than the takeoff speed of a foil. So you need a good glide. And the good glide you have with a narrow, long design.
8 to 10 feet, you said, all right?
18, yeah. 18 is...
18?
18, yeah.
Wow. You are at a pretty good level, and you're a very seasoned kite foiler and wing foiler. So what would you suggest to someone who is into wing foiling or maybe kite foiling and wants to get to your level, like to a high level?
Yeah, I think that's all about the passion. You need the passion, and then when you have the passion, there's automatically it comes itself. You're happy to go on the water, and then you make some improvements, and then you're happy about the improvements. You want to go on the water more, and then it runs. So, and even on a lake, as at our home spot with normally 6 to 11 knots, you can improve a lot, and you can have a lot of fun. And I think that's great. 10, 15 years ago with the windsurfing gear or with the kite twin tip gear, you couldn't go on the water. Now we have possibilities to go on the water every day. With the pump foiling anyway, you need no wind and you can go fast in a steady water. I think this is fantastic. This is the passion, and you need the passion. And all the other doesn't matter. You must have fun. And if you have fun, you have the passion. That's what counts, and the level not important at all.
True. And you mentioned the pump foiling. Tell us about your experience, if you have some, with pump foiling.
Yeah, pump foiling, to me, it looks very, how to say, it looks like the wing foiling, a little bit stupid and very slow. And the pump foiling looks also very special. And until you try it yourself and you get the feeling, and then once you touch the feeling, you can't stop. So that's the thing. It's not a great looking thing, but the feeling of move in the steady water is with such speed, it's fantastic. Yeah,
true. I agree. Yeah, looks stupid, but then you try it and you get hooked.
Exactly. Yeah.
You said that you started foiling 10, 15 years ago. How do you see that the foils changed in that period of time? Because now when I look at foils, at different foils, there's so many different shapes, not only the aspect ratio, but also the shapes themselves. Did you get the pictures I send you, the numbered pictures?
Yeah, I had the picture.
Maybe
this is very...
Have you seen them, guys?
Yeah, this is very interesting. And the basing thoughts are the same as you design a paraglider or a sailplane or a waterfoil. It's the same. It's the same principle.
So maybe we can just walk through them. I have two of my foils. The one and two are my foils. There is the first one, and of course the one and two. It's on their head, so we have to turn them around. So the first one I have is actually curved the other way around.
Yeah.
The tips are looking upwards. What does that make, or what difference does it make to number two, where the curve is the other way around?
Yeah, I mean, it's all about the handling, and the handling is in two parts. When you make a turn, it's a nicking sensation and a rolling sensation. The nicking is how long the stabilizer is and how big the stabilizer is. It has a direct influence about nicking, both forward and back. This is nicking. And about rolling is more how the shape of the main foil is shaped. If it's more round or more flat, the best way for have the biggest lift is flat, but flat doesn't turn. It's very stable. And so it's a combination between nicking and rolling. And the rolling is coming about how the curve is on the foil. And you have one thing which goes in the opposite. So, yeah, everything. But I don't see a lot of foils like that. Eh? Maybe it's not the way to go.
Like which one?
This one you had, which is...
Like with the tips...
The number one?
Yeah.
They said it's good to turn. I don't know.
Yeah. Try it out. But as I say, it's about flat would be the best because in performance, because the lift is directly upside, and but flat doesn't turn. So
maybe we can pair it to number four. Then number four has like this kind of bird shape, this M.
Yeah, I mean this. You have to talk to the aerodynamic guys because they can simulate everything. But every design is always a combination about performance, about turning, about handling, and of course also a combination about speed, because a good foil needs to work in very low speed and has to go to very high speed. And to make a super fast foil or to make a super low speed foil is very easy and quite simple, but to have the combination of both ends, this is the real thing to and then it has to turn, so it must be good to go into a curve to carve it. This makes it even more difficult, so it's a combination of different things you have to put together.
So the better you are, the flatter your front foil is, basically.
I wouldn't say, because if you are a very experienced good foiler, you want to not only go straight on, you want to turn.
Okay.
And you want to turn radical, and for turning radical you need a good foil with a good shape, not only a fast foil.
So also number three, that doesn't say anything. It just depends, because it's got this thicker middle part.
Number three is a very interesting design, and I think it has a lot in it and a lot of potential, and a lot of brands are going this direction. You have a very big short in the middle, so that allows you to go for a very slow speed. So the water takes a long way around the profile, so that means it creates a big lift, and then you have a very high aspect, so a very high span with a low drag. So it's a combination of going very slow and to have the performance with this high span. So I think it's a very, very good. The Eagle X from F1 has a similar plan form, and I love this foil. It's in my opinion the best of the whole for my conditions I'm sailing, and very interesting, and lots of brands are going in this direction, have a thing like that.
The small tips, the ones that I showed you, number three and four, at Flo, who is using these foils. I don't know if you've seen him, he jumps around, he's super fast, he does freestyle but also speed things, so it looked really interesting to me too.
That's what I say, a good foil has a lots of different combination. It floats very slow, so you can start with no wind, but you have to accelerate to high speed. You need a good upwind performance and downwind performance, and you have to turn radical. This is all you need on the water to have fun, and this is a good combination. But we will see what the future brings. But as I said, in the foiling, in the foils under the water, there is already a lot of things and good things, quite easy or not so difficult to combine, because you can calculate on the simulate on the computer very good. But I think on the wing, the machine in the air, there is the biggest potential is there in the future.
And that's where your expertise lie as a parawing expert.
No, I wouldn't say expert. It's just a logical step.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I do agree. Like, I think that we can always improve, but as you say, there is more room for improvement in the air, in the sails, rather than inside the water. And in regards to shapes, I think that probably your Eagle X has it's kind of flat, but then it's like this, right? It's not necessarily like shaped, but it's like more a V than it is a U, right?
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yeah. These are all different things. It's a simulation on a computer. An engineer could explain you in details how it works, but it's the result to get the combination of turning, of performance, of lift, of drag, and I would say, I wouldn't like to say why it's like that. There must be the engineer behind, and he has his thoughts and his ideas to get to the goal. And the goals are sometimes a little bit different, you know. So you need to have in mind the perfect goal. And when an engineer knows what the perfect goal is, then he can work very good. If he doesn't know what he needs to do, then it's getting more difficult for him.
Are you, as an ambassador, giving feedback to them? Like how you feel, what do you think could be better?
Yeah, of course. That's that's my passion about what's possible and what's good and what could be better. I give in constantly feedbacks to the brand, and that's good. Yeah.
And have you ever thought about sharing the same feedback with other people, not only with the company, for example, online?
Yeah, I mean, these are just the best ideas are the most simple ideas. So there's no secret behind. This is just watch around, and then if you watch good, you come to the same conclusion. And if you come to a different conclusion as nobody else is doing, maybe the idea is not so good.
So maybe I can switch to the next question, because you have two girls and they started wing foiling themselves. Thinking about the foil, are you giving them the same foils to use as you are using, or do you have like more beginner foils that you give them?
Yeah, that's very interesting. I give them all foils to use, all my foils I have, and I can just watch with which foil they go the easiest. They are the most comfortable, and and that's very interesting. And actually, not the complete beginner foils are the foils which they loved the most.
So which one are those?
They like foils which have a good performance, so a good acceleration, and they don't like so much these thick, big beginner foils, because they miss, already at their state of beginning, they miss the acceleration and the speed and the control. And yeah, it's very interesting, and the kids are very simple. They are direct, and they just use what they like the best. But I like and they don't care if it looks crazy or looks radical or not. They just take what's the most easiest for them. So high aspect foils like the Eagle X, they go on the Eagle X. And when I talk to other people at the lake or on shore, they say, "Oh, Eagle X is very difficult. You can't go on them. It's for only professionals." But my kids are on Eagle X, and that's very good. Huh?
So to any company watching this this video or listening to this podcast, hire kids to test your gear is gonna be better.
Yeah, absolutely. Kids are brilliant. They are very direct, and they are very simple and very easy. And
it's so cool to see them fly around.
Oh, yeah.
Like that was super nice to watch. Now, speaking of kids starting to foil, there's always the part of danger, and I don't know why it's a current theme, but Kyle, you saw someone got hurt pump foiling a couple of days ago, and Cody, maybe you have some stories too, or are you scared when your kids or kids in general use foils?
Yeah, I mean, a foil in general is a machine, is a knife, and a knife is sharp, and you can hurt yourself with a knife. You have to learn to deal with a knife, and that's it. Huh? I mean, it is dangerous, 100%, but it's magical also for kids.
That is true.
Yeah, I think that at the end of the day, most of the dangers are coming probably, yes, in bigger conditions when it's very wavy, very windy, but also in shallow waters. Because the thing is that if you fall on the foil and you are in deep water, then the foil more or less is sinking below you. But when you have something close to you and the foil is hitting the seabed and then you fall on the foil, then that's where the trouble comes.
Yeah, no.
Is that what happened to your friend?
Yeah, shallow water. What happened to me, what happened to him. I think that shallow water is something that we should really try to avoid. It's not like windsurfing, you know. As long as you have 50 centimeters of water, it doesn't really matter. But here you have something underneath, and it's probably better to just go in deeper water. Yeah. And not deal with these knives too close to you. Yeah. And have you ever got injured in your kite foiling experiences?
Until now, I'm very lucky. I have no injury, no bad injuries, no. No, no, it's good.
You wear an impact vest, but not a helmet, right?
Yes. I'm using an impact vest because if you have speed and you slash on the water, you have a high impact. And no, the helmet until now, sometimes I use a helmet, but normally not, yeah. But my kids are using helmets all the time. They are not stupid.
What else would you like to try? Because a lot of people are going into downwinding, from switching from a wing foiling. And is it something that you're into as well, especially because you're riding the Egolix, and most people are using the Egolix for downwinding, right?
Yeah, as I said, my home conditions are not downwinding because 5 to 11 knots, there is just no waves on the lake, or very small. And I'm more into high performance. That's what's for me very magical, to go faster, 3-4 times faster than the wind blows. And this is for me a magical thing. And the angles, the upwind and the downwind angles, and the real performance, I think for me personally, in my conditions, this is what is pushing me and makes me very interesting about the future, about the performance in marginal conditions.
All right. Thank you very much. Gal, is there anything else you want to ask or you have in mind?
I think that I'm happy with what we have so far. Yeah. Maybe Kari has something more to share.
No, I'm happy. You know, I'm looking outside the window and we have 10 knots. It's brilliant. So I'm looking forward to go out now.
So, yes, all right. So we don't want to hold you back, right?
Okay. Hey, enjoy.
Well, thank you very much, Kari. On the next episode, we're going to talk to Maurus from Indiana, the company that used to make skateboards and are big into foiling now. And I'm going to look forward to talk to him. Thank you very much, Kari. Thank you very much, Gael.
Thank you.
See you guys in the next one.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
See you.